What a meaningful song that was. As we walk from earth into eternity. That's the one of the chorus that we just sang. As we walk from earth into eternity. Is that not our journey of discipleship? As we walk on earth into eternity to be with Jesus. What a wonderful song that was, that is a reminder that at the end of all our journey, it is the time that we can bring Hosanna to the fullest as we are walking from earth to the eternity. And that is a subject that we want to talk about. James chapter 5 today, continuing our theme of the game plan, the game plan. Of course, when we are talking about the game plan, we're talking about our lives in discipleship plan on earth while we are living, how to live wisely so that we can live as a faithful disciple. Last week, James talked about, in the past 2 weeks actually, about how foolish it is to plan our life without including God. In fact, he said that. That is a sin. That is a spiritual problem. Not only lack of planning. It's not only foolishness, but it is. It is all that. But additionally, that is sin. He said, if you know something good and do not do that, you sin. And this week, James is getting more aggressive. You will find later. He is more aggressive in addressing the problem in our discipleship journey. He really wants to see us successful. And I think you also want to see yourself as being successful. He talked about the mindset of the trader. How the trader think that he or she, if the trader is a female, but most likely it is a he in the past, that how foolish it is not to include God. And so let's kind of enjoy. Well, I wouldn't say enjoy because James is very aggressive this time, almost to the border of offensive, because he's going to talk about hoarding money and wealth, material possession. And so, and this is a sensitive matter. It's a sensitive matter because what if someone come to you and then concern themselves with the amount of money that you have in your saving account? And then rudely say to you, you have too much. And not only that saying that you have too much, he even condemn you to hell because you have too much. Will you be not offended? Will you not think that this person is kind of rude? Yet, this is exactly what James is doing and is saying, as we shall see a little later. He's being very offensive. And this topic about hoarding, and I title it spiritual hoarding, and you will later on understand what I mean by that. This topic is very relevant. James is talking about something that is very relevant for those of us who sincerely wants to walk as a disciple of Christ. In today's environment, this topic of hoarding, I will define to you a little bit more after this about hoarding, but you in general understand hoarding. In Indonesian is menimbun, hoarding, and you can see how, especially during this kind of time when people stay in place, how easy it is to hoard things. We can become super consumptive because we can just sit at the comfort of our home and order stuff online and have it delivered at relatively low cost or no cost. I myself, in the past, let's say 7 months, I have collected many, many things that I bought online, but I have not opened the package, just sitting there in my garage because, you know, I think about many projects that I want to do around the house, and I start ordering things, and I didn't, turns out I didn't have that much time, and so it's just right now sitting in the in a garage, stuck somewhere in the corner of a rack. So, and I accumulated. By the way, when I go to my garage, I see that there's a lot of stuff in there. You will be surprised. My garage is big, but now it feels small because of the amount of things that at one time I thought it's useful, but now it's sitting there probably for the past few years not being used. And especially cables, right? I have a lot of cables, box and box of cable of different kind, different wattage of adapter, different plug, different shape, and all kind of things. And my wife always complained to me, oh, you know, let's just donate these cables. But I said, no, I don't want to donate it because I might find use in the future. And then I give an excuse, hey, do you know that I'm a computer person and I'm a computer consultant and I need all this? So I cannot get rid of any of this cable. I'm hoarding it, but I'm just giving a good excuse to her. So that is, you know, we do that hoarding. We do this hoarding. And additionally, I think how easy it is for us to hoard stuff is also very applicable in our life of discipleship. Specifically, James is going to talking about hoarding wealth and riches. And topic about wealth and money turns out is the topic that Jesus himself addressed most often. The amount that he addressed this topic of wealth is more than the topic of faith and prayer combined. He talked about money more. Out of 40 parables that he told his disciples and people around him, 11 of them are topic that specifically talk about money. So it is important in our journey of discipleship, and so we better understand and have a right perspective on this, and especially on the theme that we are talking today, the game plan, the plan for life, it certainly must include the topic of how our attitude is toward money and wealth. So we're going to do this. In fact, let me say this to you, pay attention. The biggest challenge of a discipleship life is not suffering. At one time it was, at the beginning of the church, it's not suffering today, but at one time, the church was persecuted and suffering. The biggest challenge to discipleship is not because you don't have enough time. It's not because you are too busy. Some people think, oh, I cannot go to church because I'm so busy doing things. There's a lot of projects that I have to do. I have to clean the house. I have to go to work, and I have homework. But it is not that. It is not, let me tell you, and hopefully this does not surprise you, the biggest challenge to discipleship is not because you don't read enough Bible. It's not because you don't pray enough. This is the biggest challenge. The biggest challenge is because we have the wrong attitude toward wealth. How do I know that? Let's look at the verse. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. How many masters do we have? Two. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. He said there are two masters. Jesus said there are two masters, and you can only be faithful to one. You can only choose one. It's Jesus or the mammon. The issue of this master is certainly relevant to our discipleship. Jesus wants us to follow him. Jesus wants us to have him as our Lord. That word master, another word is Lord. Two lords. Lord is the one who have authority over our life. And Jesus personified this word mammon. We'll look at it a little bit more. Well, let me just tell you now. Mammon is pretty much an Aramaic word. That Aramaic is the language that Jesus spoke. Aramaic, it means wealth, riches. Wealth and riches is mammon. But in this case, Jesus personified that word mammon into a person, a master, a lord. In fact, in the Middle East, this mammon is known as the god of riches. And when you read this verse carefully, you can see that Jesus elevated mammon to have almost an equal status in the fact that you can and you will have to choose between him or mammon. He did not say you choose between Jesus and suffering or Jesus and your work. No. He said you choose between this God, me, Jesus, or mammon. It's giving a very high status to mammon. And he realized that this mammon is going to present the biggest challenge to the life of following him, the life of discipleship. The issue of money management, its accumulation, its spending, and its focus in our life is very important to the life of discipleship. Either you are going to do Jesus worship or mammon worship. This is the biggest issue that the disciple have to face today. The prosperity that the world is just so willing to offer to us. The promise of good life, American dream. The attitude that we have to get what we deserve and we deserve it all. Those are the issue that is being discussed. So we will look at how James is addressing this. What makes him appear to be very angry when he wrote this James chapter 5, verse 1 to 6. He was very angry because this issue will cause many believers and disciples to die prematurely. Okay, let's look at James chapter 5. We're going to read until verse 6. And as you read, I'm going to highlight some of the word for you. James chapter 5, verse 1 says, look here, you rich people. Who is he addressing? Rich people. Weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver are corroded. The very wealth you were counting all on will eat away your flesh like fire. This corroded treasure you have hoarded will testify against you on the day of judgment. Continue, for listen. Hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated. Pay attention to cheated. Of their way, the cries of those who harvest your field. Okay, we're talking about worker in the field. And who are you then? You are a landowner, a rich landowner. The cries of those who harvest your field have reached the ears of the Lord of heaven's armies. You have spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. You have fattened yourself for the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed innocent people who do not resist you. Last week, James was addressing the traveling merchant. This week, this reading, James is addressing the rich land owner. And you just notice this, how progressively worsening the problem of this rich land owner, starting with hoarding, and then continue to cheating, and then continue to the life of indulgence and hedonism, and then end up killing people, innocent people at that. It's getting worse and worse. Why? Because this is the discipleship of mammon instead of discipleship of Jesus. Hoarding, because that one was mentioned first, we'll just talk about that as the initial point of our discussion. Hoarding. What is hoarding? Merriam-Webster dictionary defined hoarding as this. It is a psychological disorder. It's a sickness. Psychological though, it's a sickness of the mind, characterized by the persistent accumulation of a variety of items that are often considered useless or worthless by others. It's very important, by others, not by the person who is hoarding. The person who is hoarding obviously think that whatever he's hoarding is useful, it's valuable. But for others, that is useless and worthless. And by the inability to discard such item without great distress. That is a good definition from Merriam-Webster. It described a problem that many people have, unable to get rid of junk in their life. But is it only a psychological disorder? James disagree, or even maybe not disagree, but enhance it, making it deeper. To him, it is not only a psychological disorder, if you understand what he said here. The corroded treasure you have hoarded will testify against you in the day of judgment. What does that mean? Your stuff will bring or bear witness for you at the end time. Hoarding is not simply only a psychological problem, but hoarding is a spiritual problem with eternal consequences, because you will be judged at the end of your days. Hopefully, you go and pass, but this stuff that you have will testify against you. It has an eternal consequence of life and death eternally. That is what hoarding is going to do. And to James, this is a serious problem. He understands this is the fact that he is addressing. The reason why he addressed this rich homeowner is because this rich homeowner has two gods, has two masters, has two lords, and Mammon is winning. And that is what makes James so mad. Because this Mammon problem is making disciples and believers stop in the mid-track of their discipleship journey. It's disrupting our commitment to God, and it has power to stop your discipleship journey. The road of discipleship is littered by the corpse of disciples and believers who got killed by Mammon and unable to complete discipleship journey. We see many, many victims of Mammon. And many of us, James warns, is at the edge of becoming spiritual hoarder following Mammon ourselves. Or we start by hoarding innocent things, hoarding materials such as clothing, shoes, textbook that we use. I did that. I have boxes and boxes of textbook from my college year 30 some years ago that I still hang on. My wife tried to throw them away or donate them. I said, no, one of these days I am going to read it again. But those books are very textbook, the very textbook that I use when I studied electrical engineer. Can you imagine pastor go and read an electrical engineer book, textbook again in this lifetime? Unlikely, but I hang on to it. We collect that thing. And now lately we learn to hoard toilet paper, sanitizing solution, canned food, frozen meat, dog food. You know, I did that too. I even bought a new freezer to hold all my hoards. I don't do toilet paper though, because I have already figured out, you know, how to live without toilet paper. But other thing, yeah. And in a certain amount, I don't think this is dangerous. This is innocent and even wise things to do. We call this, you know, saving for rainy day, right? We put money into our bank, we save. In a certain way, this is wise planning. But when we make these temporary things like the most important things, we are dangerously close to what James is addressing, which is hoarding. And then soon enough, we will become lost in our discipleship journey if we continue this kind of mindset of hoarding. How do you know when you hoard something? Well, we focus and spend extra time to obtain it, and we lose sight of the true will of Jesus in this life. What is the true will of Jesus in this life? Is to become like him, to walk in the path of discipleship and learn from him and become more like him. And you can see, once you started hoarding, things will get worse and worse very quickly. You will start cheating to get what you want. And then once you get what you want, you will indulge in it. You will live in hedonism. And then at the end, you will do whatever it takes. In this case, for the rich landowner, he killed innocent people. Hoarding is focusing on getting more. And at the same time, withholding resources from other people. Hoarding is just not as innocent as just getting more and collect and collect, collect, because it will for sure means that you will withhold what God has entrusted in your life from other. Saving is a wise planning for the future. Hoarding is depriving others from their future. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 says this: "Do not store up for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy." You know, Jesus was also addressing the same thing as James in this verse. "And where thieves break in and steal. But store up yourself for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where riches do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Store up. Hoarding. Jesus said if you want to hoard something, it's best to hoard or build or get more of heavenly treasure, instead of hoarding this earth treasure. Because if you hoard the earthly treasure, that means your heart is there. And Jesus said, "I want your heart for discipleship. I want you to think of me and make me as the master of your life." But instead, when you hoard, when you make this temporary thing the primary thing, now you have a different master. You have Mammon as your master. If you think that the treasure of the earth, your gold and silver and staff, is more important, of course you will not be focused on your discipleship journey. You will focus on getting this Mammon. It's just not possible, Jesus said, to have both. And it's not possible to give your heart to both, because you only have one undivisible heart. Do you give it to Jesus or do you give it to Mammon? Do you want to follow Jesus or you want to follow Mammon? Do you want to be a disciple of Jesus or you want to be a disciple of Mammon? Don't trade your best for only the goods. That goods is really with an S, stuff. The best is heavenly treasure. Don't treat heavenly treasure resulted from following Jesus with earthly goods resulting from following Mammon. And this problem, you think, oh, you know, this problem is probably for rich landowner or for the rich people. Let me tell you, that is not the case. Because we follow Mammon in so many ways and we hoard stuff in so many ways. We hoard our time for our own pleasure, making us not able to serve. Instead, we use it for our own pleasure, whether that is entertainment, playing games, socializing, instead of helping others. So let me just move on first before getting into more detail, because I don't have a lot of time. I want to finish this. So what do we do as a disciple? Back on the track of discipleship, instead of following in the track or road of mammonship. Let's go back to the road of discipleship. Number one, I believe this. We need to transform our mind from mammon-oriented mindset to Jesus-oriented mindset. Luke chapter 12, verse 18. So he thought to himself, this is a parable that Jesus said, one of the 11 that I mentioned earlier. Jesus said this about a rich landowner. So he thought to himself, well, he will become a homeowner too, you know, because he's going to build a barn. But anyway, for Luke chapter 12, verse 18. So he thought to himself, what shall I do since I have nowhere to store my crops? Landowner, have crops. Then he said, this is what I'm going to do. I will tear down my barns and build a bigger one. And there I will store up all my grains and my goods. Then I will say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take it easy. Enjoy. Did you notice the same theme as James? Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Indulge. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be required of you. Then you will own what you, and then who will own what you have accumulated. That word accumulated is the same one as hoarding. How did it start? It start by, so he thought. Ooh, thought is dangerous thing. Thinking is a dangerous thing. But that's what, especially when you thought wrongly, that is even more dangerous because it's going to lead you on a false and wrong path of discipleship. The wrong thinking is the start at the end that is waiting for this rich landowner. But wait a second, look at this verse again. This is a good planning, don't you think? The landowner is very productive. He wants to build. He wants to build a bigger barn. To me, that is productive. If we just stop there, that this is what I think, I want to build a bigger barn. He is making a future investment. He is getting ready for the future harvest. But unfortunately, there's verse 20 that says, you fool. You think about this investment, but you don't think the investment that you should have made in the life of discipleship. The wrong thinking that it's produced a fruitless life. He invests in the wrong thing. Fruitful, maybe, for some people, but in the end, in the lens of eternity, that is fruitless. Anybody have ever seen moths eating your cloth and gold become corroded? Gold does not become corroded. Jesus was saying, James is saying, in the view of eternity, those are worthless. By now, hopefully you have seen how foolish the plan of this rich landowner, forgetting that, again, the same theme, life is just like a mist, short, And instead of focusing on his discipleship life with God to become more like Jesus, he is following the path of Mammon that end up in destruction of his life. It will do you and me well to continue to remember successful that the successful journey of discipleship is much more important than collecting and hoarding stuff in our lives. Investing our life for the success of our discipleship journey, it's much, much more fruitful than investing in earthly treasure. And I'm going to close with this. The second one that I want to encourage all of us is this. Work on our giving attitude. Our giving attitude. Give without expecting anything in return. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 27 says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act. Do not withhold your resources. Do not withhold goodness because you want to hoard your time so that you can use it to play games or do entertainment or doing things that you like. In doing so, in hoarding your time, in holding your resources, you are depriving those who need it. The Bible said, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. And when you give, do not expect anything in return. Matthew 6, verse 3 to 4, it says, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Expect heavenly reward, that heavenly treasure instead of earthly treasure. Expect reward from our Father who sees things done in the secret. I hope these two encouragements will get you back to your road of discipleship. We invest in the right thing instead of temporary thing. In fact, I'm not saying all the thing that you invest right now is bad, but let it not become a primary focus. Let's get back on our life of discipleship. Let's invest our time in knowing more about Jesus and loving Him and becoming more like Him in the process. Let us pray. To close this, I am praying that the Holy Spirit, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for James that blatantly, unafraidly, aggressively tell us about this problem that turns out to be the biggest challenge to discipleship. The spending of our lives for fruitless temporary thing, and how we need to change our heart to become more like you, to focus on reward that is heavenly. Holy Spirit, give us wisdom. Guard our heart against worshiping Mammon. Help us to commit to Jesus so that we can get that heavenly treasure. If this is the first time that you tune in or you heard about discipleship journey, I invite you to commit your heart, to give your heart to Jesus and start walking in the safe, secure path of discipleship. If this is the first time you want to know more about Jesus, connect with us. Connect with us by going to ifgpanol.org. There is a section that says connect card. Just fill that card. Someone will be in contact with you. But God, I pray right now for everyone so that they have success in their journey, that they have fruitfulness that is eternal in their life. Thank you, Jesus, for teaching us about proper and right attitude regarding wealth and riches.